So today is what? March 27th, 2021 already. Can you believe it? I said that 2020 is just a big memory for many of us. So for those of you who weren't here in December, we looked at some of the things of 2020. And so I'll just illuminate the one thing that I really feel like God chose 2020, because we often say that hindsight is 2020. So I think we can all make a list of the many blessings that came out of 2020. We have the eyes of the Lord that we can look into bad situations and see the good. God's ways are not our ways. And so with that, we can make the good list. And I just spoke last week at a women's tea, and one of the things that God showed me was when I would holler at the injustices, and one of the biggest injustices was not being able to be with people as they passed from this life to the next. And I just thought, you know, how terrible that they can't have a loved one there. And in the beginning of COVID, when we didn't know what was what, that, you know, the doctors and nurses and helpers and, you know, they weren't even there. And I just thought, how terrible that a person is going to die without anyone there, Lord. That's just terrible. And so the Lord reminded me, I was there. I was the only one that was allowed there to see them. And finally, I got their attention, because no one was there to misrepresent me. No one was there to be a distraction in those final moments of passing from this earth. So I encourage you all, if you had that list of last year, to take a moment and sit down and let God reveal the good that came out of it. Because again, His ways are not our ways. And so as we put on His glasses to see into a situation, it's later in my thing. I always jump around, so I will try to be linear in my delivery today. But if we were to go to a 3D movie, you need 3D glasses in order to get the full effect. And I believe that it's God's glasses are what we have to put on in order to see the spiritual things that He desires to reveal to us. So for some of you, this will be like, I have already heard all this stuff, Anne. You know, why are you telling me these things? But I just have this burden on my heart. Jesus is my best friend, and I love Him so much, and I just want to shout it everywhere I go. Like, you just need Jesus. This is the problem with the world today. So I have, if I were to give today a title, I would say Remembering Your Roots is what I would title this little thing. Now, Jesus is the main theme. I always want Jesus to be what we're focusing on. And I'm sorry over there, Marlene, if this little thing is blocking you. Is that all right? You can see me? Okay, good. So for us in these days, you know, these days are crazy. We can all agree with that, correct? Yes, these days are crazy. And so we are called to be the light of the world. And so if we are not aware of the light that we hold, I believe that that's kind of where the enemy wants us to be. He wants us all to be asleep. He wants our lamps to be dim. He wants us to forget that we house the true and living God. So with that, I just kind of wanted to start back at the beginning. Like, as Christians, we don't live for a maybe God. He isn't like a shot in the dark. Like, I hope the God I picked is like a good one, or a real one, or one that I can, you know, follow and point others to. So I just have, back in creation, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, that's capital U-S, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, first mentioned in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, capital O-U-R, according to our likeness. Sorry, capital O-U-R, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis 2:7. And then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So here we have the account of creation, that we have this testimony of how we got here. So we have all kinds of theories, the Big Bang Theory, evolution, So I talked with somebody one time on the boardwalk, and I said, okay, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which one? Which one? Which came first, chicken or the egg? Chicken. Yes, thank you. Okay. So I said to him, which came first, the baby or the man? Which came first? The man. And he said, well, what about like the Big Bang Theory? I said, okay, you have all these amoebas. Say a baby came out of that. Okay, now we have a baby. Who's going to feed it? Who's going to protect it? Okay, the baby died. That's the end of that. There's no way that the egg can live without the mother. There's no way that the baby can live without the mother and father. And so just that little tiny beginning right there, like people think, ah, the Bible, you know, you can't believe that. You can't believe, you really think God spoke everything into existence. Well, that makes a lot more sense to me than like my primordial ooze never formed anything out of my bathtub, you know, or out of the ocean or whatever, you know. So the things that people say are in place of God to dismiss a living God, we can see these evidences black and white. We have an account of creation. So I just wanted to have that be a reminder to all of you. Okay, so that was a great start. They're hanging out with God. We have Adam, we have Eve. Out of man, God formed Eve. And so they're walking and talking and fellowshipping with God, and it's a great intimacy. It's a great beginning. Then all of a sudden, we know what happens, Genesis 3:16. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband, and he ate it with her. In Genesis 3:22, then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, capital U.S., to know good and evil. And now lest he be put out his hand and take, and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden. So why did he send them out of the garden? Because he didn't want them to be smart? He didn't want them to have the knowledge of good and evil? No, it was his mercy. He put them out of the garden because he didn't want them to live forever eternally separated from God. So God had a plan already in place, Genesis 3:14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first messianic prophecy. God had a plan already in place, knowing what his children would do. So some of you may say, well, then why did God create Adam and Eve? If he knew that they were going to sin, if he knew there was going to be this separation. Well, God gave us a free will. So most of you in here are parents. So you guys knew the risks when you birthed your children. They may love me, they may not love me. They may obey, they may not obey. But you still went forward and had these children to give them that free choice to glorify God and to be raised in all the wonderfulness that we have in Him. So God had a plan, and that plan He extended to us. In Romans it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people. So many of us think that we would have done something different, like if I was there, I would not have gone towards that fruit, whatever it was. Some say it was an apple, some say it was something else. But we all say, we all blame Eve, like how she just ruined it for us all, you know. But I do believe all of us would have been like, it looks so lovely, and that's the only one we can't have. I mean, really, why can't we have that one? Surely God wants us to have it. So anyhow, we know what happened, and then Adam ate as well. So just as sin came through Adam and all were condemned, redemption came through Christ so that all can be forgiven. I was thinking about like the simplicity of what it is to come back to Christ or come to Christ and to lead others to Christ and to point others to Christ. So maybe it's just me and where I am, but that's why this is kind of on my heart to share these things that like, I got saved, actually, my 30-year birthday is April 10th. I got saved April 10th, 1991, so I'll be 30 years old next month. And just kidding. I mean, I am, but, you know, I'm really 53, but I'm 30. So, but the ABCs of coming to Christ. admitting to God that you are a sinner, to repent and turn away from your sins, to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and accept God's gift of forgiveness from sin, and to see, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So the ABCs, you know, admit, believe, and confess. Those are three simple things. So I believe that half of the solution is identifying the problem. So when a sinner admits that they need saving, or else they'll remain lost forever, then they can acknowledge that emptiness inside, that separation, the wrongs that they've done. Now, most people, when you say, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, well, I've never murdered anybody, that's usually where everybody goes. Have you ever thought a bad thought against a brother or sister? Well, yeah, that equals murder in God's eyes. So that sounds pretty harsh, you know, like, because murdering somebody versus having the thought inside your heart. But that's where, in God's economy, in God's perfection, when we try to measure ourselves next to Him, we fall short. So then we have a choice to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to accept this gift of forgiveness from sin. So I wanted to post something the other day on Facebook, and it went something along this, but I didn't end up posting it. But I wanted to say, I'm sure many of you wonder why Christians find it necessary to point to Jesus and quote Bible verses all the time. Some see arrogance when we say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we, or most of us, have tried all sorts of things in life and came up empty before we gave our hearts and life to Jesus. But when Jesus revealed Himself to our hearts, the true and living God showed Himself to be who He said He was and is. There's no other God who claimed to be God who took on the form of a man and our sins and died in my place and rose from the grave. So if I'm going to live my life and invest reading the Bible, coming to church, having fellowship, going to prayer, doing all these kinds of things, coming here on Sunday mornings, then I want to make sure that I am doing it for the 100% true, proved, living God. Now, when I accepted Christ in my heart, it was like I had been raised in the Catholic faith, and when they said, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Inside, I thought, oh, who says no to the Lord? And Savior? Oh, Savior means I need saving. So I was a little slow because it took me 23 years to be able to figure out that little puzzle, important puzzle piece. But then as I lived and learned and grew in the Word of God, I was like, you mean there's proof to believe why we believe what we believe? And they use the Bible to find archaeological sites, not the other way around. They don't use archaeological sites to find what's in the Bible. They use the Bible to find what's in the archaeological site. So did I say that right? Anyhow, so it is a very, like, it's just so awesome. So I didn't write that on Facebook. Why? I don't know. Because I know that there is just such adversity to these things. And so I pray over all the posts that are there. And as the Lord leads me, I certainly post things. But I felt like this would have been more, and maybe this will appear now that I'm saying it. But I just feel like there is just such a battle to hide the truth. Again, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. So what? So that means that we have the keys that unlock the chains that have shackled so many people, that hold so many people in bondage. And this Satan is the power, ruler of the power of the air. And we know the air is very ruled right now by media, social media, TVs, movies, video games, just all those things that can have such darkness and evil. Now, a lot of those things can also be for used for good, but I'd say that's a very small smackerel compared to how it's been used to promote Satan's tactics. So many people are held inside still in fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so that's why I believe these kind of gatherings are so important. You're not behind your mask. You're able to see each other smile. You're able to embrace each other and give hugs. That infuses life in each and every one of us. And so these are the things that made me scratch my head, like, why would they not want us outside exercising? Why would they not want us visiting our elderly and encouraging them? Why would they not want, you know, and the list is long. So all these different kinds of things, that's where we need to go to the living God and see what He has for each and every one of us as we live in this lovely world. So, while we were all yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because he died, because he rose, he lives today. He's here in our midst. And again, that is such good, good news. I want today to be a day that infuses life and encouragement to all of you guys, you know, like, and so you guys already may have it, and you might be like I said, man, we're fine. We've been growing in the Lord, and we've been having an excitement. Well, then this is to infuse you to share that excitement. This convicts me that, you know, like I said, if I need to put this little post or I need to shine the light, that I would be obedient to do that. So if you have asked him to be the Lord of your life, then you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't asked him to be Lord of your life, then all you have to do is confess. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So sometimes I would hesitate to lead people in a prayer to Christ, and in talking to them, I wouldn't want to say, just repeat after me, because I want that to be a genuine thing. When I got baptized, that was the day that my life changed. So I almost said to people, you need to be baptized. Like, that's what's going to change you. No, my heart was ready to be 100% in for Jesus. So when I was baptized, and that's an awesome, important thing to do, it's an outward sign of an inward work, but it isn't what saves you. I love the thief on the cross. He's such a beautiful picture. What could the thief on the cross do?
Nothing.
Nothing. He could not do anything. He couldn't even get down and, like, tell one person. But he told the whole world in the story in the Bible by just acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God. He couldn't get down and get baptized. He couldn't do any good works. He didn't even say the sinner's prayer, I don't think. However, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And so he is a beautiful picture when anyone feels like, but I've done such horrible things, and you don't know my life, and you don't know that I am probably the exception to what he did on the cross. No, Jesus died over 2,000 years ago on the cross. And I used to think, you know, as I go along in my Christian life, I'm like, Jesus is really happy with me today. I read my devotion. I was good to my husband. I didn't say any, you know, I think I'm kind to my children. And then I'd be like, yeah, I'm doing good with Jesus. And then the next day I'm like, I didn't read my devotion. I yelled at my husband. I was not very kind with my kids. Today I'm definitely disqualified. No. Jesus said, I died for every sin, past, present, and future, over 2,000 years ago, before you were knitted in your mother's womb, even though I knew you were going to be knit together in your mother's womb. Oh, so I didn't do the one that canceled out all that you did on the cross. This is where my mind goes. So many, all of you guys probably don't have such a crazy mind. But anyhow, the Lord is good to us as we live for him, seek after him, as we have our crazy thoughts, that he is faithful to show us these different things. So, one of the biggest things I think most people have, especially evidenced last year, is a fear of death. Where am I going to go? And when am I going to go there? And where am I going to land? Sadly, my mother-in-law just passed away this November. She visited in September. And I said, do you know where you're going to go when you die? And she said, heads or tails, flip a coin, it doesn't matter. And I said, eternity is a really long time. And Jesus says that you can know. All you have to do is ask him into your heart and ask forgiveness, and you're a new creation in him. Like today, it starts brand new, a clean slate. So I hope to heaven, before she left this earth, that she did cry out to him and that we will see her once we get there. But having a fear of death is a very real thing, and it's also a good thing. So that was one of the other good things that I believe the Lord brought out of 2020. Hopefully a lot of people came to Christ because of this fear. Now, we don't want to live with fear and have that be our relationship with the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but we don't have a scared, I'm afraid to come before the Lord. The more, today I will promote the Word of God. The Word of God is so important. That is how we know who he is. That is how we draw near to our daddy. That is how we trust him. That is how we build our faith in him, so that when a child jumps to his dad's arms in the swimming pool, he jumps because he has a relationship with him. He has a trust there. He knows all about his dad. And he can abandonly, you know, for great abandonment, just jump into his dad's arms. So the more we get to know the Lord, then the more we have that, okay, Lord, my life is yours. You just go ahead and do with it what you want. And so that is a very freeing thing. Like I said, a lot of people, I think, came to the Lord. I think a lot of people would attend church on Zoom. it's a start. I don't think it's the way that we should go completely, because there is light as we come together, and that's a very important thing. The Lord gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding when we ask Him into our hearts and our lives. And that was evidenced when I said that sinner's prayer and I came to the Lord. Some of you may have read Pilgrim's Progress with Christian when he has his big sack that just falls to the ground. Well, that was my big sack fell to the ground. I could stop trying to be the Anne that you wanted me to be, and the Anne that you wanted me to be, and the Annie that you wanted me to be, because I would put on masks and be whoever you wanted me to be. And I was afraid of not being loved if I didn't try to be who I thought you wanted me to be. And so when I found this great news that Jesus loves me just the way I am, as strange as I am, not everybody gets me. It's okay.
I love you.
She's my other kindred sister. But it was this great big ball that just fell, and I thought, you mean it's okay if everybody doesn't love me? And he said, yes. Because I will always love you, and I will never leave you and forsake you. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, I'm a little crazy, a little strange. And he said, yes, guess what? I made you that way. So, and prior to that, my little side thing there was, you know, I drank for 10 years. Like, drank myself into an oblivion for 10 years. So I shouldn't even be here. And that's a glory be to God as well. Because that allowed me to let this lady out that you guys see today, because I was afraid to let her out. Like I said, what if you didn't like her, like me, you know? I didn't want to, like, make myself vulnerable with nothing inside of me, but then I could blame it on the alcohol that I drank. So Jesus set me free to say, no, you are who I created you to be. Now get out there. So here I am. So God did not leave us here in this world as orphans. Growing up, I was just sharing earlier, I would always say my name is Anne with an E, and people would say, oh, like Anne Shirley from Anne of Green Gables, and I said, I don't know who she is, but just don't forget my E. And so, as I saw Anne of Green Gables in her little imaginary world, yes, I identified, that was very much like me, but I always felt like I was adopted. I was the third born out of four children, and because I always felt odd, I just felt like I was not born naturally into this family. I know I'm adopted. You're hiding it from me. And so I can now look back, by hindsight 2020, and see that that was a gift. That God let me feel like I was an orphan here on this earth, because He has chosen us as adopted children, as heirs. Wow. That is an amazing, amazing truth, amazing gift. And so it's very simple, and we complicate it for sure, and how should we present Him, and what should we say, and there is no formula, so I'm not going to give you any kind of formula other than abiding in Him. It's abiding in Him and abiding in His Word and letting Him fill us. There's only one who has lived the Christian life, and I can't say this to myself enough, and that may be a new thing for you to hear, but there's only one, only one, only one, and that's Jesus. Jesus Christ Himself is the only one who can live the Christian life. So, how do we live the Christian life? By just abiding and letting Him live in and through us. The tree is such a beautiful picture, the oak tree. Everything that oak tree will be is in its little tiny seed. Everything. It doesn't, like, you know, at 10 years, I think I'll grow an extra arm, you know. It's all, well, it does grow an extra arm, but everything, it doesn't grow an extra ear. How's that? So everything that it will be is contained in that seed. And so likewise, when we accept Christ into our heart, as the Holy Spirit comes into our life, as we abide in Him, as we believe in Him, as we have faith that grows in Him, He then will live that life out of us. I think I shared this at the Christmas tea, but the moon. The moon is a beautiful example. How much light does the moon have in and of itself?
None.
We could see the moon yesterday when we came home in the midday, so that was really cool. So the moon gets its light from the sun, and the sun, when it is shining brightest upon the moon, is when the world is out of the way. Mm. And when the world is out of our way, the S-O-N, can shine much more brightly out of each and every one of us. Now, what part do I have in that? How much light does Anne have in and of herself?
None.
So it sounds like when I say this, like, but we are all but moons. not those moons, but we're just moons. So, just to remember, I have nothing to bring to the table, but as I abide in Him, I have everything to bring to the table. I mean, that is just a glorious truth because it is all on Him. And how do we get more of Him? By abiding more into His Word. So how do we get filled with these truths of creation, of Him dying on the cross, of resurrection life, of what's to come in the book of Revelation? By His Word. So many people do not like the Word of God because they don't like that God. They like bits and pieces of Him, but my God is blank. No! That is your God. That is who you made up God to be. But you don't have to guess who God is because He gave us this love letter with 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. And so we are not left here as orphans lost going, let's flip a coin, see how it all turns out. No. He wants you to know. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to sense His presence. He wants to comfort you. All of us have come from dysfunctional backgrounds. Yet we have a perfect Father in heaven. So when we as parents feel like I blew it, well, you know, God, our perfect Heavenly Father, has a whole world of messed up kids. And that's okay because He's right there to walk with us and talk with us, even though we may have gone through tough things, fill in the blank. I'm sure all of you, you know, because there's nothing new under the sun, I can list the litany of things that you all have probably experienced in your life. But Jesus was there. And Jesus knows. So one of the things that I think also cripples us is our sins. I'm not qualified to speak because my list, let me roll it out for you. It's pretty long. You know, I can point at my fingers at other people and be like, you know you should, and you shouldn't, and why, and Jesus goes, yeah, and you know, you have a pretty long list too. And Satan goes, yeah, and it's so long, you probably should keep your mouth shut. So my little thing I will encourage you all to do is take those sins and write them down. Write down everything, sin you can ever think of, and then take it in a safe place and burn it. Yeah. Poof! It's gone. Mm-hmm. Our Jesus took away every sin, past, present, and future. He cast them as far as the east is from the west. They are gone. And that is a good visual and a good reminder, because you will continue to sin until the day you're taken home with Jesus. That is just, unfortunately, the package deal that we have. However, we're also seated in the heavenlies. Complete. Perfect. Our DVD is done. I share that at Christmas, too. My DVD is already in the library, on the shelf, in the heavenlies. He knows the beginning and the end. The parade is a good picture that sees. I can only see the float going by in front of me, but when you're up there on the top of the building looking down, you can see the beginning of the parade, you can see the end of the parade, and you can see the ones that already left to go home. And so that's the perspective God has. He's like, your life is already done. It's already done. It's hidden in me. It's hidden in my Son. It's complete. It's perfect. And so let me see where I am because I kind of went off there. So here we are. We're celebrating Palm Sunday tomorrow. The people waved the branches and they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And then days later, they shouted, crucify Him, crucify Him. So the tide can turn so quickly in our society. One minute they're praising an athlete or an actress or even a politician. And then you can fill in the blank or whoever they're praising. And then the next minute they're attacked. Their character is attacked. So Thursday's devotion, if you have the yearly Bible, then you read it too. But a good tree can't produce bad fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are never picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into heaps of ruin. So again, what is our foundation? It must be on the rock of Christ. It isn't on the rock of hand. It isn't on my ideas. It isn't on the things that I think that make me a good person or anything like that. It has to be on Christ and Christ alone. He is a solid, solid rock. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, why are we such silly people when we say, Lord, that's a good idea, but I got a better one. Mm-hmm. Let me show you how I think things should be done. We are so silly. We just are. So there are many names that are in the Word of God. How many are there? I looked it up. I think there were like 100 words that for the name of God. And in Genesis, Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, called the Lord El Roy, the God who sees. And so to me, that is it's such a beautiful one. God sees everything, every detail, great and small. So as you intimately get to know him, he already intimately knows you. And it is my greatest anchor verse is that Jesus has promised to never leave nor forsake you. Again, he's there in all the details, great and small. So I want to end this with joy and hope. And Jesus wants us to come like little children. And that's why I wanted to remind you of whatever your beginning was, your roots when you first came to Christ. Because we can forget, like some of us, again, had childbirth, you know, 20 years ago or so, and we forget what it was like to have that new life. And so as new believers, I know I was just excited, and we know would run around and tell everybody, you know, I'm saved, and they're like, oh, no, you're not going to, like, become one of those, are you? And I'm like, oh, no, no. I'm not going to hand out tracts and stand on the street corner and say, Jesus loves you. So I went to Russia and I stood on the street corner and I hand out tracts and I said, Jesus loves you. But anyhow, so yes, here we go. So many of us forgotten what it's like. So just to remember the simplicity of ABC, admitting, believing, and confessing and coming to Christ. So he gave me a little acronym for the word joy. If Jesus owns you, J-O-Y, then your life will be filled with his joy. And then last night, as I was preparing, he gave me the acronym for HOPE. Having our priorities eternal. Living in the light of eternity.
Amen.
Will give us that Jesus owns you joy. So I believe that's what our eyes need to be on, because as our eyes are on that, we will have eyes to see more clearly. We will have the confidence and the boldness to share him with others, that he is the way, that he is the truth, and he is the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. And so, again, Jesus says, if we speak with the tongues of angels but don't have love, we are as a clanging cymbal. So as we, I was talking about our sins, you know, on one hand, write them all out and burn them up. If we were to write down a list of all the sins that we want to still work on and behold that list, you will be tangled up. You will not be set free. So we don't look at the list of sins. We look to the living God. And as our eyes are on Jesus, those sins fall away. So I encourage you, don't focus, I'm going to start with my sin list today. I'm going to start getting rid of blank. I'm going to stop cussing today. Trust me, you're going to cuss more today than you did yesterday. So we don't look to the problem. We look to the solution. Again, I feel like this world has gotten so jumbled and twisted, and even us as believers, the church, the, you know, those who are abiding in Christ, who are set free with this truth, I see many still are tangled, and it just breaks my heart, because we have the answer. So if we who have the answer live in this tangled, twisted, tied up knot, again, I just can't help but think Satan giggles and laughs and just says, ha ha, they're no different than the others in that world. And so I don't say that to condemn you, because I'm saying it to myself as well. What is the solution? I said last year, if they shut down the President of the United States, then certainly they're going to shut down Ann McKnight. So I am not concerned with political things. I am concerned with heavenly things. That we here's my little, you know, brain. This is where it goes. We are on a bathroom break, girls. We are all at the rest stop for the destination. We're all at the loo, and we are headed towards the destination of heaven. And who are we going to share this great news while we're washing our hands? You know, Jesus washed away your sins. I thought I'd let you know that while I'm washing my hands. And, oh, hey, you can come along on this journey because we're still going there. You know, just to have the excitement and the life that he wants us to have. So just continue to abide in him. No fruit tree is outside grunting and groaning, trying to pop out a pear, pop out a peach, pop out an apple. It's not trying in and of its own strength. It's abiding in the ground. It's being filled. It's being nourished. It's getting that life infused inside of it. And the Word of God is that to us. It's a mystical thing. I mean, you all, you know, most of you in here, as far as I know, are believers. It's a mystical thing. It can't be explained. To some, to the Pharisees, they were like, this is what it says. And he says, you know the words, but you don't know me. Mm-hmm. Some say that people miss heaven by 18 inches. They have the head knowledge, but they don't have the heart knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want just to have knowledge and spew it out on somebody. That's like Peter slicing off an ear. But as we are filled with his love, then hopefully that love is going to shine out to others, like the moon, hanging out. Wow, look how bright it is. It's an awesome thing. And then even just coming to the Word. Lord, I read the Word, but I kind of don't get it. Sometimes it's dry. Sometimes I get something. Sometimes I don't. Well, if you go to the living author and you say, Dad, show me yourself today. Even if it's one nugget from one line. You don't have to read the hour chapter. You know, I mean, spending time in the Word and abiding and all that is great, and studying it, I encourage it. But sometimes when you're like, oh, I'm on the fly, I have a really busy day, grab a proverb, grab a psalm, grab a one line, grab a little, you know, thought for the day or something, because that sets the rudder of your heart towards heaven and focuses on him to be filled with that life and joy. So I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer, and then Tammy and Karen are going to come up, and we're going to sing a song, Leaning on the Back of You, Jesus, as we just throw ourselves into his arms, let him take us where he wants. He holds us in his hand, and he walks in our midst. He fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit. We aren't left here as orphans. We're not alone. And the gift that we have of each other is a bonus. He says, do not forsake the gathering of brethren. Where two or more gathered, he is there. And so that is something that sometimes I would say, well, as long as, you know, I don't go to church, I am the church. We are living epistles. And yet coming together is a very, very important thing. As we are alone, I believe we're targets for the enemy to be snuffed out. Mm-hmm. But when we all come together, we are that brightness. And so that's an awesome thing as well. Alrighty, so Jesus, we thank you, Father, and I just pray whatever is of you would land in my sister's hearts, and whatever is not of you, let it blow away in the wind. We just love you so much, Lord. We know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to you but through Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins. We thank you that we can celebrate resurrection life, not just next Sunday, but every day. And we thank you, Father, that you are not a dead God. We thank you, Father, that you rose, that you appeared to many witnesses. And I just pray, Father, that as we, your daughters, would be students of the Word, to have a reason for the hope that we have in you. We love you so much and praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.